Integrated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Knowing the Holy Spirit. And now with the Word, here's Brother John.
Luke chapter 4, verse 17. This Word has been in my spirit now, as I said earlier in this week, for a while now. And I want to preach about the Holy Spirit coming upon us. The Holy Spirit coming upon us. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 it says, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Over a few weeks lately, when I've talked about the anointing, well, it's been more than a few weeks, I felt something stirring inside of me. It was almost like the Lord was saying, if you focus in on the anointing, you're focusing on a secondary thing. And the Lord started just dropping this verse into my spirit. He said, "What is the result of the anointing?" And the verse here, verse 18, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." And it was like the Holy Spirit was bringing a correction in my heart by saying to me that the significant thing, the most important thing, is the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us. Thank God for His anointing. But the effect of that anointing is that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. The Holy Spirit. If you divide the anointing from the person of the Holy Spirit, all you've got is another doctrine. And so I believe what I'm hearing in my spirit is this. God is bringing a corrective word to focus in on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, for example, that song that we sang earlier in the worship time, and, you know, I understand how when people wrote songs, how they, we've thought of the Holy Spirit as an it. And so, you know, that song, "If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies," what the Word says. Well, in the chorus, we sang, "It shall quicken your mortal body." But He's a He. It's not an it. The anointing is not a thing. It is a person. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. He will quicken our mortal bodies. And it's like I believe that the Father is wanting to bring a corrective word back to focus in on who is coming upon us, the Spirit of God. Look at John chapter 1. We're going to look at a few scriptures this morning because that's how the Spirit has just been leading me. John chapter 1 and verse 32 and verse 33. "And John bore witness saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" So for John, the significant thing was that he saw the Spirit of God descending upon the Lord Jesus and knew by that he was marked as the Son of God. He was the Anointed One who was prophesied. And John knew it not by the fact that Jesus simply did the things because he was anointed, but because he visibly saw the Spirit of God come upon him. I believe with all of my heart that what God is saying in my spirit this morning is this. That we're going to see greater and greater visible manifestations of the Spirit of God coming upon people. When you look in the Acts of the Apostles, when the Spirit of God came upon people, there was something so visible. For example, in Acts chapter 8, when Philip went to Samaria and preached there, it was so obvious that when the Spirit of God came on them, Simon the magician noticed something so dramatically different, and that is why he offered Peter and John money to buy the power to impart the Holy Spirit, because he saw such a definite change when the Spirit of God came upon people. So the Spirit of God just began to grip me with this whole thing, and I want to just share what he's been saying to me. First of all, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, the last chapter in Luke. Jesus says to his disciples in 49 of Luke chapter 24, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." That's the Holy Spirit. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." When the Spirit comes upon us, there is an endowment with power from on high. And of course that coincides with what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. When after his resurrection the disciples said to him, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has committed into his hand. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." It's very interesting to notice that when the power of the Spirit's presence is absent, that's when we get into being preoccupied with times and seasons. See, the church gets wrapped up with prophecy and trying to figure out, but I'm telling you, when you're walking in the power of the Spirit in the now, you don't care about when He's coming back. You know He's coming back. You don't speculate about how it's going to be, because you're so enjoying living in the present with the power of the Spirit on you. And that's what Jesus said is to be our preoccupation. He said, forget times and seasons. That's not your responsibility. It's like Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, if you walk into a room and you find boxes with your name on, why would we want to open up a box that says it's not for you? And Jesus said, it's not for you to worry about times and seasons. But the church has spent many, many, many hours in having prophetic conferences, worrying about when He's coming back, how He's coming back, what are the timing. I don't care. The church needs to have power. The Spirit of God needs to come upon us. And when you're living in the reality of His power in the now, you don't care. You know He's coming back, and you know that you're secure in Him, but your preoccupation is power for now by the Spirit of God coming on us. And so that's my concern this morning. And I want us to just do a little bit of an Old Testament survey of the Spirit coming upon. And what I want to just simply lay a foundation for is this, as we look in the Word. In the Old Testament, you have continual references to the Spirit of God coming upon people. Whereas in the New Covenant, because of the gift of the Spirit to us, and because of Pentecost and the promise of the Father, now the Spirit of God is within us as the children of God. But yet the coming upon of the Holy Spirit is very valid. The Spirit of God within us deals with sanctification and transformation into Christ-likeness. The Spirit within us is going to produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, changing us inwardly in our character to be more Christ-like. But the Spirit of God coming upon us is strictly dealing with power. And power to do exactly what He's called us to do. And so I just want to lay a foundation. I believe it's going to bless you as we just go through the Word. Turn back to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Moses had complained to the Lord that the burden of carrying all the nation on his shoulders was just too big. And so the Lord gives him an answer in verse 16. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them.' And they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. In other words, God was saying, I'm going to raise up a whole band of leadership who are going to walk in the same power and anointing that is on you. Because it's going to be the same power and anointing, there's going to be a unity, there's going to be a commonality of the anointing. What is exciting to me is to see the way in which that power upon the people and upon those elders was manifest. Look at verse 23. And the Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And so they come and tell, the young man comes and tells Moses that Eldad and Medad are prophesying, and Joshua says to Moses, stop them. And verse 29, Moses said to them, are you zealous for my sake or jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. I want you to notice something. Although the Bible says, and there's some, you know, variation in the whole understanding of what that means, the Bible says they didn't prophesy again. Well, what I just hear the Lord saying is this: we have chosen leadership so often in the church for our ability to just sort of discuss and have wisdom, you know, and so on. What God is concerned about is putting such a spirit of anointing upon leadership that we prophesy the word and the will and the purpose of the Lord. It comes out of the Spirit and not out of our discussions. God wants to raise up a prophetic people who can hear God, who can speak forth the word of God, and you don't have to discuss the will of God. He reveals it prophetically. You don't have leadership meetings where you sit around and discuss and try and get consensus. I heard Rush Limbaugh say this in one of his programs. He was sitting next to Margaret Thatcher at a meal, and he said the whole meal was worth it for this one thing that she said. She said, consensus is the negation of leadership. See, what the church has done is somebody gets a word from God, and then we submit it to the discussion of the leadership. And by the time we come through, we've had all the unbelief and all the doubt and all the rationalism of the people, and we've lost the word from God. And God wants to raise up a prophetic people who hear God and speak the word of God. So that when somebody comes and says, I believe, particularly when the pastor says, I believe God has said this, we don't all sit around and discuss whether it's God or not, but the spirit of prophecy confirms that it's God. We discern, is this a prophetic word from God? If it is, then we go with it. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. Coming upon. This is the story of Samuel anointing Saul to be king. In verse 1, Samuel takes a flask of oil and anoints, pours it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? And then Samuel prophetically speaks the events that are going to confront Saul over the next period as he goes on from there. And then Samuel prophesies in verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. So it was when he had turned his back, verse 9 says, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him. And what? He prophesied. Ooh. He prophesied among them. Turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. You know what it says, but I'm going to read it. Joel chapter 2. That which was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost was prophesied in Joel. If I can find Joel, that is. There it is. Joel chapter 2, page 1281 in my Bible. Spirit-filled Life Bible. Some of you have got that. Verse 28 says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And what's the result? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Now, what is wonderful is when you go to Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, where Peter is quoting from this, do you know what? He adds a phrase in there under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He adds in after verse 29, he says, "Also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." It says, "And they will prophesy." And they will prophesy. You say, "Well, Brother John, why is prophecy so important?" Please hear this. In Amos, God says through Amos, the Lord God does nothing without revealing His purpose to His servants, the prophets. God does nothing without revealing His purpose to His servants, the prophets. And you see, the problem is with many of us, knowing God's will in the church has been a matter of aftersight rather than foresight. We've come after the event and said, "Oh, God undertook there. He led there." But God wants to reveal His will and purpose ahead of time so that we can walk in the fulfillment of the purpose of God. He wants to reveal what He is up to, what He is doing. He wants to speak it forth prophetically so that the people don't need to wander around wondering, "Where do we go? What should we be doing?" He wants us to know exactly what is in His mind and what is in His heart, what His will and His purpose is, so that we can track exactly along with Him. Now, there's an incredible verse in Proverbs that I want to refer to. I don't have the reference down, but it's the verse that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Let me tell you what the Hebrew of that is. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint, is the literal meaning of the Hebrew at that point. Where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Casting off restraint is everybody does what is right in their own eyes. Amen? Just like in the times of Judges, when there was no spiritual leadership, the Bible says everybody did what was right in his own eyes. That's exactly the kind of thinking that is in that verse in Proverbs. Where there is no prophetic revelation, people are just left to, "Well, I wonder what God's will." "Well, we'll just muck along here and hope we discover God's will as we go along." And so the people cast off. There's no sort of controlling vision. There's no directing word that focuses and directs your life. I couldn't live without prophetic revelation. I couldn't live without knowing what the purpose of God is, having been revealed through prophetic utterance. And neither can any one of us. The purpose of God is that we should all live, not only with prophetic revelation, but not just that we should live with it, but we should all prophesy. That we should all prophesy. "On your men servants and your maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Acts chapter 4 says. Now, the Lord spoke to me this morning and He said, "Son, as you stirred up tongues during this week, you need to stir up and release the prophetic anointing this morning. It's not just for a few, it's for every believer to prophesy." That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. He wants every Christian to prophesy. Every Christian to prophesy. He says, imagine what will happen if a stranger, an unbeliever, walks into a church where everyone is prophesying. He said what's going to happen is the secret of that person's heart's going to be revealed, and that man falling down in your midst will worship God and will declare that God is in the midst of you. Isn't that wonderful? See? As I've been reading the stories of old, of revivals of old, listen. When the Spirit of God has come, that's what's happened. He has turned people loose, all of His people loose, to become prophets and to speak the Word of God. Now, I want you to know something. There's an absolute divine strategy here this morning. Glenn Foster's prophecy says this: "I am sending a whole generation of prophets to you. I am about to release prophecy upon the church as you have never seen it before. from morning till night, the word of the Lord will go forth over the congregations and upon the people. When you lay down on your bed, the word of God will come forth. You'll roll and toss, and my voice will be heard in your sleep. My voice will be heard when you awaken in the morning. You'll say, I've never seen anything like this. The word comes forth and more words come forth and I can't remember them. Whereupon I say, write them. Write every word that I'm giving you and watch it come together. Watch it begin to build like blocks joined together. Watch and see what I'm doing. Man, I get so excited. This is great. Here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept. The word of the Lord is coming forth and each sentence and each paragraph will ultimately conclude that there is victory. Then look at the second last paragraph. I am raising up a generation of prophets who will prophesy in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, who will rise in their beds by night and prophesy up and down the aisles in the church and in the home and in the streets and in the schools and in the courtrooms. Woo! The prophetic word is coming forth everywhere. There has been a very small word through most of the century. There has been very little prophecy upon my people. There has been much preaching of sermons, of man's ideas and people's opinions. But the pure prophecy of the Spirit has been scarce. It has been precious in your days, hidden in little places and withheld from the masses. But I am now pulling back the curtain. I am now turning on the power and increasing the wattage. I am taking away the embarrassment, the shame, and the fear. Continued next week. Except the Lord says, not continued next week, continued all of this week, and all of next week. I'm telling you, it's His heart. It's His heart. It's His heart. He doesn't want you to be living in the darkness. And so many of you can testify this, that your life is sort of a meandering, trying to discover what God's will and direction is. And I'm telling you, He wants to restore the prophetic ministry. It's so scarce that we pay big money to go to conferences to hear a prophet prophesy over us. And if he misses us, we sit there, oh God, just let him talk to me. And he misses you and you get all upset. You come back and say, I spent so much money, I thought I'd get a word from the Lord. Hey, you can hear God's word directly. He wants to speak through you. I mean, As Glenn Foster says, lying on your bed, you'll rise up in the middle of the night and you'll start prophesying. Speaking forth the word of God. His Spirit upon us. I tell you, I believe this with all my heart. The Lord spoke this word to me this morning. He says, it's time for my church to start living prophetically. Living prophetically. Living prophetically, which simply means I start to live in the flow. I live in the flow, live in the flow. I'm speaking forth what God is saying and then just walking in it, living in the flow, living in the flow. What you discover with prophetic utterance is you have to wage warfare with it. And what God is showing us, please hear this, and one of the brothers at the baptismal service from Hereford came up to me and he said, I want to tell you what God showed me this morning. And when he said it, it just absolutely exploded in my spirit because what God has been saying. He said, the Lord showed me this morning that intercession and prophecy are hand in hand. In fact, he said, I see it as the same thing. And that's exactly right. The book out of Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship is the book by Guy Chevreau, Praying with Fire. And what, you know, if you can read past all of his learnedness, you know, you need a PhD degree to understand him. I mean, he's very edumacated, you know, and all that. But if you can get past it, what he's saying is this. What Toronto has learned to do is intercede prophetically. And so they don't start praying until the prophetic anointing falls in their intercessory prayer meetings. And when they get a prophetic utterance from the Lord, then they know exactly how to pray. And they intercede according to the prophetic revelation. That's where God wants us to be. The church tracking on the prophetic word of God. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Upon your manservants and your maidservants, I will pour out my spirit. And they will prophesy. And that's an anointing that God wants to release in this place today. Get ready. That's why it's been accompanied by unusual manifestations. The trembling of the Lord that is over people here this morning. It's just a sign and a wonder. And I know there has been a spirit of prophecy in this body. But I'm telling you people, it's just going to be bigger, 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 and greater. The Lord wants to impart a mighty, 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 mighty prophetic anointing this morning. Amen. He wants the Spirit to fall on us without measure. And we begin to speak forth. I'm telling you, the first prophecies that you're probably going to speak forth are just speaking forth the glories of His name. Proclaiming His greatness. Proclaiming the wonders of who He is. This morning the prophetic anointing fell on me, and all I could prophesy about was His exaltedness. He is exalted. He will be exalted in the nations. He will be exalted in the midst of His people. He's going to be exalted in the midst of His church. He's going to be exalted in the midst of denominations. He's going to be exalted in the midst of political systems, in the midst of the legal systems. He's going to be exalted everywhere. Woo! That's glorious. The world needs to hear that. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring news, who say to Zion, your God reigns. I'm telling you, we read the newspapers and we get our information from the newspapers and we say, whoa, we're in trouble. The political system is in a mess. No, God says, I will be exalted in the midst of the White House. I will be exalted in the midst of the Senate. I will be exalted in the midst of the Congress. See, when we have that prophetic utterance, then we can pray accordingly and intercede accordingly. Ew. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Praise you, Lord. Well, let's quit right there. I don't need to preach anymore. The Lord's ready to come. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, Lord. 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 Now, let me tell you, this is not a reward for good behavior. This is a blanket promise of the Spirit coming. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, the promise is to you and to your children and as many as be afar off. God's not with wanting to withhold from anyone. We've been star-dazzled. We've seen prophets come through who had a great anointing. We said, whew, I'll never be like that. Let me say, don't compare the prophetic anointing with the office of a prophet. The prophetic anointing is for all God's people. The office of a prophet is obviously for some. And we won't all walk in the office of a prophet at all. But we can all and should all prophesy according to what Paul says. And these are the days when the world desperately needs God's people to rise up with that prophetic anointing. I was just so encouraged when we were having supper, and I won't single out anyone, but there was a family there having supper with us who was sharing how they've been getting the word of the Lord, and God has been speaking to them prophetically in dreams and visions and just speaking. I'm telling you, people, that's where we all should be. 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 All should be speaking forth the word. All should be speaking forth those prophetic utterances. All of us should be so full because the Spirit of God is coming upon us. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Not I might, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And I'm telling you this morning, if you will receive it, He will touch you with a prophetic anointing. What I want to ask you to do this morning is this. As the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you're lying on the floor up here, just begin to prophesy. You say, well, Brother John, you don't have to prophesy about things to come. Prophesy, speak forth the word of God. Prophecy is both forth-telling and foretelling. And the forth-telling aspect of it is just telling forth the wonders of the kingdom, the glories of our King, the glories of His salvation, the glories of our Father in heaven, the glories of the Spirit, the glories of the bride, the glories of His grace, the wonders of His love. You can speak that forth. Just start speaking, declaring His glory, declaring His glory. And in the midst of it, He might mix in some forth-telling where He'll start declaring to you things to come. Jesus told us the Spirit would do that. Jesus said, He will declare to you things to come. That's part of the prophetic revelation. So you don't have to get on the floor and predict, you know, the fall of you know, whatever. You know, no. Just start proclaiming, declaring His glories, speaking forth. And right in there, as you're proclaiming His glory, you'll begin to be surprised, because right in the midst, He's going to start speaking things about your future, speaking things about your life, about the direction of your life, Now, Lord, we're your hungry children. We are your hungry children. We're hungry. We're hungry for your touch. We're coming to receive this morning. We're here to receive the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We're here for the Spirit of God to touch us that we'll never be the same again. Lord, I thank you that you spoke to me this morning that you are going to raise up a prophetic people in this place. That we are going to live prophetically. And Father, I have boldness and confidence in your word that what you have said, you are faithful also to perform. Just like you said to Moses, the Lord's hand is not shortened. What you've said, you're able to do. You haven't suddenly got some kind of a problem with your hand stretching out and doing it. We read in Ezekiel that Ezekiel constantly says, the hand of the Lord fell upon me mightily. The hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Lord, thank you that your hand is outstretched. And I pray for your hand to fall upon us this morning. Touch us, Lord, powerfully. And anoint us with the mighty Holy Spirit. And thank you that we're all going to begin to prophesy. We're all going to prophesy. We're all going to prophesy. We're all going to prophesy. None is excluded. On your sons and your daughters, I will pour out my Spirit. Lord, in children's church, I pray that the Spirit will be poured out. The children will begin to prophesy in children's church. Lord, in the nursery, in the nursery, in the nursery, Peter Cartwright tells about a baby who couldn't even speak yet that sat bolt upright and began to speak in perfect French, began to speak the praises of God. Lord, you want to confound the wise. You want to confound the things that are through the things that are not. You want to bring to naught the wisdom of this world. You're sick and tired of men parading themselves as being wise and intelligent. And they're absolute fools when it comes to kingdom truth. Lord, I thank you that you're going to raise up the simple. You're going to raise up the things that are not. You're going to raise up the things that are foolish, that others discount and kick out of their churches. Those are the very ones you're going to raise up. Ha! You delight to do that. The very ones that man says, we don't want you around here because you'd spoil this church. You make us too radical. Lord, you're going to pick up those same people and you're going to use them and to go back to those same churches with the very word of life that is going to bring deliverance to those churches in your time. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. You don't need any other qualifications than just being your children to have this mighty anointing poured out upon us. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name that you'll just release that spirit of prophecy in this place. Right now, in Jesus' name, I release that anointing.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.